It's time for the Midwest Outdoors with Fred Ramsey and Mark Tobin. Brought to you by Reed Chevrolet, the Hearing Connection in St. Joe, the Sports Medicine Store, and Sportsman's Outfitters and Marine. Now, here are Fred Ramsey and Mark Tobin.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of the Midwest Outdoors. Tickled to death to be with you this Saturday and every Saturday. I'm basking in the aura of my co-host, the greatest fisherman to ever... No, he is not. We're going to have Jimmy Houston on. Might be the greatest fisherman.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
That's to be our guest at the bottom of the half hour.
Better than Jimmy.
Yeah, Mark Tobin, my co-host. I just can't wait to get down here on Saturday, give him a big hug. Big old bear hug, I might add. You know, pick him up off the floor.
It's embarrassing.
I used to be able to pick you up off the floor, but Mark, you've gotten...
My winter coat.
Winter
coat. Except my winter coat has stayed through with me all year.
You ever think about hibernating this time of year?
No.
I do.
Although I don't like these short days.
You don't?
No, I'm ready to go to bed as soon as the sun goes down.
Are you?
Yeah.
Is that a sign of age?
I think it is.
Oh, yeah. Is it?
Could be.
Well, you know, Mark, the fishing reports, the guys, I Googled around last night, and the guys that are out there are knocking the sparks out.
I mean to tell you, it's really good right now. Talking to Dusty Inslee yesterday, uh-huh. He's been going down Lake of the Ozarks and just hammering the crappie. And the last 2 weeks, he's been out, I think it was four times, and he has 14 walleye.
Wow.
On top of several nice hybrids. And he said you could catch white bass till the cows come home if you want to. He'd just rather fish for crappie. But a lot of white bass being had down there. And that's Lake of the Ozarks. And talking to Richard Bowling over on Truman, he's catching fish 18 inches deep under a cork.
Oh, no. Oh, no, Fluffy.
I know. Yeah. There's, to me, and I did that. I didn't get to go last weekend, but the weekend before I was down at Lake of the Ozarks. And that's what we were doing. We were a foot using corks set about a foot deep. Mm-hmm. And we just caught tons of crappie like that. And it should stay like that for another couple of weeks at least until we get another really
cold front.
Yeah, the water's still in the mid-40s right now. So, and by the way, talking about guides, if you're looking for a gift to buy for that hard-to-buy person,
a good gift.
A guided trip would be awesome.
Yeah, it would.
And Richard Bowling, he had a client this week that came out with him, hired him to take him out, didn't want to keep any crappie. He just wanted to learn how to use his life scope better.
Yeah.
And that's what he can do. You don't have to, well, if you're going to pay to hire a guide, I think I'd keep some fish too.
You would.
But great gift idea. Richard Bowling on Truman. If you'd like to book a trip with him, you can go to his website, Richard Bowling, his Facebook page, or his phone number if you got a pen handy. Is area code 660-351-5361. And then on, I was talking to Toby Lewandowski from Absolute Fishing Guides. He wants to do a special too for Midwest Outdoors. If you'd like to call and get a gift certificate from him, he not only fishes several lakes on the Kansas side. And he's just a great guy, and he's very inept with really, really good with that live scope. So if you'd like to learn mm-hmm. better how to use your electronics, you know, Richard Bowling or Toby Lewandowski, either one, Toby's phone number, it's either Absolute Fishing Guides, you can look it up there, or his phone number, 785-845-6043. But be a great gift for Christmas.
Yeah.
Get a guided trip for the person that you know that loves the outdoors in your family.
There were some rumors running around they're going to stop planting walleye in the Lake of the Ozarks. Was that a rumor or was there any validity
turns out,
to
it? No, it was a rumor, thank goodness. Yeah. Yeah, it was supposedly, from what I had heard, they were going to quit stocking in Truman and Lake of the Ozarks. But I talked to the biologist for Truman. Chris Brook is his name. And he's on a board that makes all the decisions that involve walleye stocking. And he said there's been no such thing that's come across the board. So don't know how that got started, but he said, no, that's not true. They're going to be doing heavy stocking, and they pay particular attention. They're going to be paying particular attention to Lake of the Ozarks. So that's good news.
More walleye in Lake of the Ozarks.
Yeah.
Huh? I mean, how these rumors get started like that? I don't understand.
Well, this happened. It's a guy I know that lives down there, and he's friends with a highway patrolman. Lives real close to him, uh-huh. and they fish together all the time. And I don't know how it was. It came from the highway patrolman. I don't know where he got the idea or what he had heard, but fortunately, it turned out to be false.
Huh. Been several years now. We've talked about it many, many times about the stocking program on Lake of the Ozarks and Truman. And I don't know, maybe it's just me and my old age, but all of a sudden it seems to me like it's really blossomed.
You know, I've caught in my last two trips down there, I have five walleye, but I also had three that were just little teeny tiny things.
Really?
I mean, they weren't 6 inches. So, I mean, that's good. You got different year classes out there, so, you know, I think that just, you know, speaks well of the future.
You wonder about the spawn of them. Is it starting to take off?
And I don't know how well they spawn. And I'm trying to get – we're going to have Truman's biologist on here in the next few weeks. He's trying to work his schedule around doing the show. And that's one thing I'd like to know. You know, a lot of those fish on Lake of the Ozarks come up below Truman Dam. And that's where they collect them, and that's where they get all of the eggs and, mm-hmm. and things that go into production of the walleye that get stocked into so many different places. But, you know, that's not the only place. You know, we've got the Niangua arm and the Gravois arm,
sure
and
do.
I think on Lake of the Ozarks, and I think there's probably, hopefully, some natural spawning that occurs there as well.
I think there is.
Yeah.
I talk to too many people. I think there is, but I think it's a very low percentage
yeah.
of success rate.
Right.
I don't know that. I'm just talking out loud here. But I think that's what I'm hearing from other guys. You know, they are catching some walleye. They're 5-6 inches long. Maybe that's a natural spawn. I don't know, you know.
Yeah, I don't know what size. We'll find out what size they are when they're stocked.
But we need to catch one of these walleye and put a pin in him and question him. Hey, what's going on?
Put the bright light on him.
Yeah, we're going to put the Bud Light on him. amazing, isn't it?
Well,
fisheries are an amazing business.
Yeah.
You know, it's a multi-million-dollar business, you know, but these biologists, I have so much more respect for them. Since we started this radio show, we've had so many biologists on, fisheries biologists. They know times, dates, numbers, figures, facts. You know, I mean, you go, wow. You know, they're very impressive people.
I was asking Chris, the biologist for Truman, about whether or not they've done any studies on LiveScope and whether they think there's any impact on the fishery because of it. And they have not in Missouri. Arkansas has done a study, and Kansas did a very in-depth study. And he doesn't think that it's having any effect right now. And all they can judge it on Truman is lake populations.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just as healthy now as they've ever been.
Yeah.
So right now, and he has a LiveScope. He likes it.
Well, when I was out with the guide and he had the LiveScope turned on, the first thing went through my little feeble brain, what's left of it, is how many crappie are in this water.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing just lit up everywhere. We turned the corner, there was a bunch of crappie.
Yeah, isn't that? I hear that a lot from people that do have the LiveScope.
Yeah.
You just can't believe how many fish are down there. And now you're seeing them.
And it makes you stop and think, too, about the times you went out and you were kind of skunked or didn't do good. You know, what did I do wrong? Where were they then?
Might not have done anything wrong.
I don't know.
I mean, there's just times that they won't bite.
I guess that's right.
And LiveScope proves that. I mean, you see that very clearly that can happen.
Well, we got on one crappie, and the guy said, let's catch him. That's how I'm
fishing. I know.
And we put the bait down in front of his nose. He was sitting in the fork of a tree, and he didn't have any interest. He said, let's go get another one. That fish is not hungry. And he just, what in the world? You would assume that the attack mode would be in their brain.
Well, that's what's changed tournament fishing. I mean, you're hunting for a specific fish now.
Yeah.
And I don't know. You know, if you're fishing a tournament, you have to do that. I don't think that's as much fun to me.
Yeah.
And there's a little bit of it's kind of a the love-hate relationship that I have with fishing. There's something to be said for the mystery of not knowing exactly what's there.
I agree with that.
That goes against, if you're, again, if you're tournament fishing, that's a whole different thing.
Yeah, and the bass tournament guys, you know, I can handle. I won one, but I couldn't. It took the fun out of it for me, and I decided not to do it anymore.
Yeah,
and that's as simple as it gets on the thing. I felt pressure.
Well, that's the thing, right?
You know, and I don't. I got enough pressure in my life, let alone, you know. I have a dog, you know, and I have enough pressure in my life, you know, without that. And it just took the fun out of it, and I know that I wasn't good at it. I got lucky one time, and you know, I just knew, you know, it wasn't for me in the deal. Now, the people that can do that and make a living at it, my hat's off to them.
Well, I mean, I mean, that's not easy. It's not a lot of fun.
Oh, no, It's pressure.
And right. Yeah. The older I get, the less pressure I want. I got enough of that from work.
Yeah, really. How are you thinking, speaking of pressure, how about Brent Chapman? Has anybody heard anything? How is he doing in the tournament series? Or?
No, I have not.
I haven't either. And I'm going to take a look, but I there's one of our Kansas City guys that seems like, you know, put the pressure on me, I'll catch the fish. You know? It's kind of weird.
Done it for a long time.
Some people, you know, can handle a lot of pressure. Right. Mahomes can handle a lot of pressure. You know what I mean? Some, you know, it's just some people were not built to handle anything out of the norm.
That's some people live to compete.
Hey, speaking of out of the norm, I hunted some guys from Iowa yesterday.
Well, that's out of the norm right there.
Yes. Bizarre group. Nice guys. Couldn't help but like them. I mean, kind of like a puppy, you know, that's chewing your shoe up, but... they're just wonderful guys. And you know what? I hunted them last year, and I didn't come away with much respect for their shooting ability. This year here, they were croaking them.
Oh.
I mean, really, really. They're shooting this Boss ammunition. Are you aware of this new? This name new, but
I mean, I know the name.
Yeah. It's a great load.
Is it?
Oh, my. I think they were shooting deuces. I didn't look for sure. But, man, they were croaking them ducks yesterday.
Whoa. Are you seeing very many?
Yeah, a lot of ducks came in yesterday, flight ducks. You see them up in the stratosphere, you know, coming in. The problem we're having right now, and which everybody's upset about, is there's no water on the refuge. I've got more water in my bathtub than they do in that refuge, you know. And they're gaining on it, on the deal. But it's Holt County has, I think some guy told me when I was having lunch with him the other day, worst drought condition since 1965,
oh,
I think
dang,
he said.
Really? That bad?
Yeah, it's just terrible. Squall Creek and Davis Creek both flood Squall Creek, the refuge, which is now Lois Mounds or whatever they call it. And there's no water coming down those ditches. And they've got pumps, but pumps can, you know, it's just not the answer. You know, they help, but they're not the answer.
Are they running them regularly?
No. It depends which story. I got so many incoming calls this week about Squall Creek. We'll talk about that. We've got to take a little break, but we're going to talk about it. We're brought to you by the greatest Chevrolet dealer in the United States of America. Did you know that, Mark?
I do know that.
You do that?
Personally, yes.
I think I bought six from them now, maybe seven.
You're
about to buy
several ahead of me. But
about to buy the eighth one from them. Reed Chevrolet at Frederick and I-29. Boy, I just love. Is there something about doing business with people like that? You walk away feeling good on a car deal. Sometimes you have what
like
they
you,
call buyer's remorse,
right?
You know?
Like you got abused.
Yeah, but those guys, you know, that whole Reed family. I mean, I can tell you story after story. They're good people. There's not enough good people left in America.
I know that's right.
George Santos. You know who that is?
Mm-hmm.
They expelled him yesterday. Is that a good person?
Mm-hmm, no.
Well, he's the fifth person ever to be expelled. But anyway, the Reed family has no correlation with them. Just babbling. They're the nicest humans I ever saw in my life. If you want to be treated professionally and you want the proverbial brother-in-law deal, you go to Reed Chevrolet. I-29, 34 minutes north of KCI. Time myself. Drove like I'm on fire. Down the road I went, you know. That highway patrolman just shook his finger at me, you know. But anyway, go to Reed Chevrolet. I just love this guy. He's got a great inventory, great selection, new and used. Just wonderful, wonderful people to do business with. You're listening to the Midwest Outdoors. We've got to take a little bit of a break. We'll be right back with you.
No.
How come no Missouri Waltz?
He's thinking of me this week. It's my turn.
I want Missouri Waltz.
I get Led Zeppelin.
What?
Covell Hudson, yeah, you are the best.
How come no Missouri Waltz?
What's going on?
This is way better.
Seniority, huh? You pulled a seniority.
Is it Missouri Wolf?
Last time we played that, I never got so much response, and it wasn't good, but
I like to keep it fresh.
Evidently. we're brought to you by King City Lumber, kingcitylumber.com. For you humans, is there any good humans left or bad humans? What
there's,
do you think?
There's a few.
Few good humans left?
Yeah, but
they need an outbuilding.
Absolutely.
Do you?
I do.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Will they come to Kansas City?
I don't know. That'd be a good question to ask them. I bet they would. They're the nicest guys. Say WHB. Maybe they'd help out. I don't know. But they're the best. Master carpenters. I drive by one of their buildings that I know has been up for 20 years.
Oh, my gosh.
Maybe more. And it looks just like the day they built it. When we go to lunch, you know, we're up for a duck hunt and go by that building, and you go, wow, that's a cool-looking deal. You know, I don't know what it is about my fetish of outbuildings. do you think I'm nuts or what?
Well, I do that, yes. I'm sorry.
Do you think I'm
you
over
are
the edge?
Yeah, you are.
Huh. How about the times when I was beamed up and on the rings of Saturn? Did that
bother? Might have had something to do with
something
it.
Something to do with it?
Yeah.
Next stop is Pluto. We're going to, maybe Mars. I don't know. You know, wherever I got to go. I'm not hearing the voices anymore.
Well, that's a step in the right direction.
You think so?
Yeah.
No voices?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, anyway, the ducks and the geese, get back to reality, started in yesterday. I mean, they came to the refuge, you know, when there's peak in February. You have 1,200,000 snow geese on there. Well, they're imprinted on that place. And you can see them go down to the refuge, and they want to go in there, but there's just basically no room for them. I mean, it's just they're befuddled. That's what we called them. And they would go in circles and then turn around and come back out and go back. And
really?
Yeah, it was weird.
Huh.
And my boy was set up. He was with guides for Squaw Creek Gun Club. They killed 30, what did he say? He just sent me 32 geese, 14 mallards out of that one pit.
Gosh. Dang.
You know, ducks and geese are here. Then when I think, wow, this about peaked, my buddy Jerry Logson was coming back from a pheasant hunt up in Dakotas and went over the river up there, and he said it was black with mallards as far as they could see. And
where's
black
that?
Geese. Sioux City.
So there's a lot more to come.
Yeah.
Good news.
We've only got about 20-30%, I think. You know, I don't know, maybe more, but it's just weird right now. It's been the weirdest strung-out migration I've seen for a long, long time. On the deal. And my theory, which is worthless, I think that a lot of them birds that we got that south wind and hot temperatures,
we had
that snow, and then we had the cold, and then we had the wind. I think they go back north.
Yeah, we got more mild weather coming next week.
Yeah, and I think they just adios, you know.
Well, that's good.
They don't. I don't think a duck or a goose really wants to migrate, you know, too far anyway, last they can, but. It's just weird. I mean, I've been around doing this for a lot of years. You know, I started duck hunting when I was 10. I'm 62 years of knowing what not to do. But it's just weird. It's just bizarre.
You think you would have seen it all by now, but every year
every
is
duck
different.
Season is different.
Yep. You know, the same way with fishing. It's the same way with long hair. I mean, it's...
Yeah. Phil Robertson, I was watching a duck commander show one day, and he said, no two duck seasons are the same. And I thought, what a profound statement.
Yeah, that's so true.
So Wednesday, now here's the weirdest part. Wednesday was really nice, you know, and the wind was 7, 8, 10 mile an hour out of the south. And so I go up to the duck club, supposed to meet these guys, and they no-showed, and no big deal, at emergency. So I thought, well, I'm here, might as well go, you know, I don't think it'd be worth a nickel. So I go out and get in the blind, At 5 minutes after one, I killed a drake. At 1:15, I killed another drake. At 1:21, I killed another drake. At 1:34, I killed another drake.
What?
Just boom, 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 boom. And it's not that I'm a good shot. It was just that they were chumps. You know, they were hovering above the decoys, a Tobinized butt duck.
Right.
And it was just, you know, wow. You know, and I got four drakes, and they were the nicest, fattest, and I've got your fillets in my freezer. I forgot them this morning. I forgot a lot of things this morning. But I've got some fillets, some duck breast.
I
reached out for you. So you're going to like
you.
Them. Boy, that crock pot thing, I was talking to Chris about that. Wow. You know, you take beef bouillon cube and beef broth, you know, and Lowry seasoned salt, garlic powder, and throw it in the pot and shredded it up, you know, like taco meat type stuff, you know. And maybe not that fine, but wow.
And then how did you serve it?
Well, I put it on a bun, ate it.
Oh, just,
you know?
Like
put it
sandwich?
On a sandwich, you know.
And that was mallard?
That was mallard. And for people go, oh, I can't eat duck. Well, try something different then, you know, if you're going to, you know. Nobody likes change, do they?
No, but it can be good.
Yeah.
And my son, you gave me some duck breasts last week, and he is marinating them as we speak. So it's going to be going on 6 days now. He's
marinating. That'll be good.
And we use Lowry's Caribbean Jerk.
Yeah, but that's good.
And then keep some, you know, reserved, and then just drain it, clean it, and then we just flour it. I use a little bit of Lowry's seasoned salt and McCormick's seasoned pepper.
Mm-hmm.
Very simple. Flour it and fry it, and then use the reserved Caribbean jerk as a dipping sauce. There is no strong flavor to it at all. It's so good.
I talked to a guy today who uses a taco sauce. It's a powdered
seasoning. Taco seasoning.
And, you know, when you think about that, that's probably got ground peppers inside of it. Well, like properties cut. Like properties, so if it's the oil that's bothering you, this might have some effect of cutting some of that out on the deal. I don't know why, but he said it was really, really good that way.
Well, you can't beat the crock pot either.
Yeah,
That meat comes out so tender.
And, you know, you just can't beat it, and it's so simple.
If you're frying it, you got to make sure, though, not to overcook it.
Oh, yeah.
And that's true with any wild game.
Yeah.
Then it gets tough.
Yeah.
And you can eat that on the rare side for sure, and it'll be a lot more tender.
Have you eaten any deer meat this year?
No, I have not.
Hmm. I broke you that.
Well, no,
habit.
I would. I haven't been. And my brother-in-law owned a nursery out in Blue Springs, which he doesn't own anymore. And he used to hunt back there every year. And they had
buku deer.
Oh, I mean, you know, they did damage to the nursery, so they wanted as many of them taken out of the equation as could be. And so I always had endless supply of deer meat from him. In fact, he'd kill them, and I'd go butcher them.
Well,
but no, he can't do that anymore. And so it's been a couple of years since I've had very much deer meat.
And you liked it?
I do, yeah.
Okay.
And I love it.
You're
the
only person in America that likes deer meat.
I know that's not right.
You don't think so?
No, a lot of people in Missouri depend on that for their food.
Mm-hmm. Really? Oh, well. Hey, we're brought to you by, we're going to have Jimmy Houston on at the bottom of the half hour, man. And you lost all your notes on Jimmy Houston.
I really don't need very many with him.
No, really.
It's just he has accomplished so much in his career. It's just amazing.
The guy's unbelievable, isn't he?
And been around for so long.
He's older than Moses.
And, I mean, he's still got the enthusiasm of a little kid.
He does, doesn't he? Hey, we're brought to you by Sure Ag of Four Cities, Savannah, Osborne, and Plattsburgh, Missouri, for you farmers. We have a lot of farmers listening to the show. You need to start making decisions real, real quick about what you're doing. I did see some guys putting on some anhydrous again the other night. You need to talk about to go to these pros. The guys at Sure Ag got 116 years of service of knowing what to do when you're farming. So sit down, have a visit with them, plan out a procedure, and always remember one thing about spraying weeds and cornfields and soybean fields. Sometimes the magic doesn't work. But majority of the time it does. So, but if you have a problem, they have a problem. They're professionals, they're pros. Again, it's Shurag, based out of four cities, Savannah, Osborne, and Plattsburgh, Missouri. You're listening to the Midwest Outdoors. We come back, we're going to have Jimmy Houston. Ought to make a good show. Put your feet up, grab you a second cup of coffee. We'll be right back with you. By request. Jimmy Houston song. Jimmy's the only guy I know at his age would walk into a bar, order a beer, and they still card him. They would. They'd look at him and say, are you 21?
I doubt that he'd ever walk into a bar and order a beer, but yeah.
He does look
young enough.
We'll
he could
pull
be
pull a gun on him. Make him do it. Whatever. Jimmy, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing good. How are y'all doing today?
We're doing great.
Better than I deserve.
Well, I think we can all say that, can't we?
Sure. Did you recognize that song? Was that the Missouri?
No, that was not the Missouri Waltz.
Those songs like that are way before my time. y'all probably listen to those. Y'all probably listen to those when y'all were kids or something. I don't know.
Well, first off, how's your wife Chris doing?
Chris is doing good. She's doing better all the time, and she still can't walk, but she's getting closer all the time. She's doing good. She's here at the ranch with me, and just doing great.
Well, a miracle that she's still with you.
Absolutely, no doubt about it. You know, it's been about 32 months, and the doctor told me she would never leave that hospital alive. So he was not diagnosing correctly. God makes that call.
That's right.
Exactly right. How's the pecan business?
No, it's good. You know, we're harvesting right now. We've got a really good crop this year. We've had two bad years, but this year it's just really been good. I think we got a little extra moisture this year. It's been pretty dry down here in southern Oklahoma, and I think that helped. It's kind of funny. I don't know whether a wet year or dry year helps you. Some years are good, some's dry, some's bad. It's just kind of like any kind of farming, I think.
Exactly.
How do people, well, first of all, why should anybody buy Jimmy Houston pecans?
Well, they're probably the best tasting pecans you'll ever eat. I hear that all the time. You know, we really sell a lot of pecans through the internet. Most of the pecans we sell to a processor, just like any other farmer would do. We haul them over to the processor in a trailer at home, 3,000 pounds. And that's where most of them go. But we do sell an awful lot through the internet, through JimmyHouston.com. But the main deal is our pecans are fresh, Mark.
That's the thing.
You've had them, and I kind of make the parallel. It's like eating fresh fish. You know, you go out and catch a bunch of crappie today, which would be a very good thing to do. Go out and catch a bunch of crappie today.
Yes, sir.
And you fillet 8 or 10 of them or a dozen of them or so and eat them for dinner tonight. Mm. And they're just going to be great. They're going to be great. But then the rest of them you fillet and you freeze and you eat them 3 or 4 weeks from now. Now, they'll still be good when you eat them 3 or 4 weeks from now, but they won't be nearly as good as what you eat tonight.
Nothing like fresh.
All the pecans you buy in stores and everything have been frozen, and they basically will last forever, but they've been frozen, and they're just not nearly as good. The only time you get fresh pecans is right now, you know, really late November, December, and a little bit into January, and, you know, we usually ship, and that's the only pecans we ship out is fresh pecans. We get into about the second week of January, and we're not shipping any more pecans, and then you can't get any more until November of next year, so... But, yeah, they're good. And you can go to JimmyHouston.com, and, it'll tell you how to order them. You can give us a telephone call, and you can answer all your questions. But, we're shipping out a lot of pecans right now. Eating a lot of pecans ourselves, as a matter of fact.
Pecan pie.
They're great on cereal. Put them on your cereal every morning.
Oh, yeah.
I know old guys like you eat cereal.
Well, can't beat them on ice.
Oatmeal. You might be into oatmeal, right, Mark?
Yeah. I'm at that age, yes.
You're oatmeal steak, yeah. You're oatmeal steak, yeah.
They're not bad on ice cream either.
You know, they are great on ice cream, you know. I'm telling you. My favorite ice cream is Bluebell butter pecan, and Mm-hmm. I believe that all the pecans that Bluebell uses comes from Jimmy Houston Outdoors, Twin Eagle Ranch here in southern Oklahoma.
Wow.
So, I recognize those pecans. I recognize them. People think they all look alike. It's like twins. You know, mom and dad can always tell the difference. You know, it's like twins. I look at it, oh, that's one of my pecans. Oh, that was not.
So we got this month to get them pretty much.
Yeah, we'll ship about the first couple weeks in January, but really this is about it. We start taking orders October 1 and usually start shipping about the end of October, 1st of November. But we are in the fields. We'll be in the fields again today. We're out there right now shaking those trees and picking up pecans, and we're working every day right now at it. Sure.
Well, I was late last year and I didn't get any, so I'm going to, as soon as I get off the air today, I'm going to put my order in, because there is such a difference between fresh and not fresh. So
Jimmy, you want me to slap him?
There he is. I mean, we get comments all the time. Those are the best pecans I've ever eaten, and you know, people are really nice and kind, but you know, the difference is being fresh. You know, they're never frozen. That's right.
JimmyHouston.com.
Hey, Jimmy, I got to ask you this question. It's on my brain. I don't have much left of it, so when it comes on my brain, I got to spit it out. What was the first tournament you ever won?
You know, back when I was a senior in college, I fished the Oklahoma State Championship, and you had to qualify here in Oklahoma, and I fished over on Lake Eufaula and finished fourth in a qualifying tournament. And the following week, and you had to finish first, second, or third to qualify for the state championship, Oklahoma State Championship. And so the following week, I fished at Lake Fort Gibson in another preliminary, and I actually won that preliminary, so that qualified me for the state championship on Lake Keystone. And I fished the state championship on Keystone and won that. So I had fished three tournaments when I was a senior in college, and I'd won two of them, so I thought, wow, this is a fun game to play.
Yeah, exactly.
And my winning streak didn't last too long. But what? That was pretty cool, you know. And I fished, of course, the national championship that year as Oklahoma State champion. I did not win. I finished 18th. But the greatest fisherman in the world was fishing, and it really, it sort of set the stage for me, and I fished tournaments for 47 years, which is an awful long time, and it's been really good to me. This game has been a great game to play, and the tournament fishing is still a great game to play, and I don't fish the national tournaments anymore, but I guess 2019 was the last year, but it's still a great game, and you know, the great thing about it now, it's a great thing for younger fishermen to aspire to, to be a professional fisherman, like, you know, kids like want to be a baseball player, a basketball player, do this, that, and the other. And it's great to aspire to be a professional fisherman, make a living in the fishing industry. And actually, kids can fish on high school fishing teams and get a scholarship to go to college. And, golly, if they'd had that back when I was in college, I'd probably still be there. I'd have all kinds of great degrees. I wouldn't know how to do anything with me, but that'd be okay. I know how to do now. That's big for God.
Well, you've been doing television for, what seems like a lifetime. And, you know, Fred and I did the American Outdoorsman television show for a number of years, and the most embarrassing thing that ever happened, I want to ask you if you've ever had anything embarrassing happen, but what happened to me was, it was the first stand-up interview that we'd ever done, that I'd ever done, and we were at the 777 Ranch in Hondo, Texas. You know, see, I remember all that now.
Right,
and I had to do this stand-up with a PR person from Zeiss Optics, and we got set up in front of this lodge, and before we started to record, there was probably 70, 80 people that came around to see what was going on. Well, I got nervous, and all it had to be was like a 1 minute interview, and I tried to introduce this person. Her name was Karen Leto. I remember
Karen.
That now.
Yeah, I remember Karen,
but I could not remember her name to save my soul. And if I did get her name out right, she would be so shocked that she couldn't respond. This went on for 45 minutes. I've never been more embarrassed in my life. But have you ever had anything embarrassing happen to you?
I've done that exact same thing. You know, we fish with guests. We've been doing that television show for 47 years. And We're back on ESPN beginning. It is the last Saturday in December, the first Saturday in January. Again, this year, we were on ESPN for 21 years, and we've been back on ESPN the last 3 years, only the first two quarters of the year, the first 20 weeks of the year that we're on. But we'll be back on ESPN. But you fish with a lot of guests. A lot of times, just like what you said there, they're people you just met. and the way that we, you know, I introduce the guests during the, you know, when we catch a fish. So we might be fishing for an hour or so and out there visiting about this, that, and the other, and all of a sudden I catch a fish or the guests catch a fish, and then I tell them who I'm fishing with and where we're fishing and, you know, what we're doing. And, yeah, I've done that, and I've got to the deal. And so I'm fishing today with sort of lose it. And I was out in California fishing with a guy, and I got to that point, and I just tried, and Dave just wasn't there. And he's got a microphone on. I've got a microphone on. You know, of course, we're not shooting live television. We're taping this. And so, he goes under his breath, just like trying to help me. He said, I can't remember his name right now. He goes, Mark Tobin. Talking right into his microphone. And it's so funny, you know. And I finally went, oh, crap, Mark. I'm sorry about that, dude. That's the feedback. We don't use that one. We won't use that one. And of course, nobody knows about that kind of mistake, obviously, because it wasn't live. But yeah, I've done that more than once, actually. And I really, really, after I did it that one time, and that was seriously probably the first year or two of the television show. And I try to really, really be careful about that. I had
to come clean too. I had a gentleman, a great guy, was their fly fishing guy for Cabela's, Mark Mails, on, and I could not pronounce his name to save my soul. And we were in a trout stream in Pennsylvania, I think it was. And I couldn't do it. And I'd say, what's your name again? And it was so embarrassing. And he would tell me, and it would not translate into my brain, which is not much left of it anyway. But, gee whiz, this went on for 30 minutes like this. I could not remember. Yeah, him standing there telling me his name, and it didn't come into my computer. You know, I went, wow.
You know. I hate it when that happens.
Oh, it's terrible. It's terrible.
Well, Jimmy, you're such a professional. You make it look so easy. It makes me feel good to know that you have made some of the same mistakes I have, just not near as many.
Well, Mark, you know, we get asked a lot about blooper tapes. You know, my buddy Bill Dance, I talked to Bill this week, as a matter of fact, and he's doing great.
I was just going to ask you
about Bill a lot. Yeah, Bill just turned 83 last month, and you know, my buddy Roland Martin turned 83 back in March. And those guys, both of them are going strong. I was with Roland here just a couple of weeks ago up in Niles, Ohio. We got the new Bass Pro Shop up there. Bass Pro Shop's got about another 6 or 7 stores opening up this next year. And
really?
We'll see the opening for all of that. So Roland will be with me. I think his kids will be with me at just about all of them. So if you're around anywhere in an area and you have a new Bass Pro Shop opening up, Roland Martin and I will both be there.
Awesome.
But yeah, it's they asked me about bloopers. You know, Bill has made a lot of money with his Bill Dance bloopers. And you have a blooper tape? Do you have a blooper tape? That's, well, sure we do. It'll be on this Saturday and Sunday on all of that work. Because our entire show is sort of a bit of blooper. we don't really worry about that too much. And one of the things I think that has helped us in television for 47 years is our show is a reality show, and your
sure.
show was a reality show as
sure.
well. And,
sure.
That was big. And you were doing it, and I was doing it way before they had a name called reality TV. And because we were going out and letting the fish we caught or did not catch, and the pheasants or the quail we found, the ducks that come into our decoys, the deer that walked by, the sport made the day, the fish made the day. They were really the stars, and that's really what happens when we go fishing and hunting. We don't know what's going to happen. I mean, we have in our mind what might happen. We can visualize a bunch of ducks coming into the decoys, or bird dogs down, big rooster pheasants flying, or or a big bass coming up and hitting the spinnerbait up on top of the water. We envision all that, but we're just hoping that will happen. And until it actually happens, that's what makes a fishing day, or a hunting day, a hunting day. So hunting and fishing shows, you know, they were the original reality shows. And they are reality. They're not, you know, we're not actors. We're just hunters and fishermen and outdoorsmen and having a great time out there. And so they, you know, they are reality TV. People like Bill Dance and Roland Martin and Hank Parker and people have been on, and, you know, up there in your area, you know, golly, you know, y'all had Dusty and
Harold. Harold, yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
My goodness. Virgil Ward.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yep.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, great, great pioneers in outdoor television. And they were doing the same thing. Reality television. We just called it the fishing show.
Yeah, right. Well, that's well
Jimmy,
said.
Can I ask you a dumb question? I mean, this weighs on my brain a little bit, which not laugh again, but darn it, when did you realize you could make it in this business? I mean, is there a turning point where you said, wow, I got a paycheck, or what? I mean, what happened?
Well, we haven't realized that yet. we're still hoping we can put on another show after this next year. It's a year by year deal in this business. But you know, when we started in the outdoor show business, we set a goal and set a certain amount of money that we felt like we would have to lose that year, because my buddies, Bill Dance and Roland Martin, Roland had been doing the show for 2 years and Bill had been doing one for four. And they both told me that they lost money the first two or three years they did the show. And so I just felt like that was part of it. So I set an amount of money I could lose. And I felt like that if I lost that much or less, I would go ahead and do year number two. And actually, we made $30,000 that first year.
Whoa,
which might have been a money.
Yeah,
absolutely. Back in those days. And, we're actually able to show a profit in the show every year up until 2008. Now, I know 2008 now is getting back pretty far, but all of us that were alive and in business during 2008, 9, 10, and 11 know how difficult those years were. And we lost money there for about 8, 9, 10, and 11, and 12, I think, and then finally started making money in the show back in 13. But every business that you were in back in that 2008, 9, 10 area was a bad business to be in. It was really, really hard to make any money in business. Just about everybody was just trying to stay in business, you know, just trying to pay the bills.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that bothered me all my career, and Mark too, is the industry didn't support us, and to a extent they did, but not like we thought would happen.
It needed to happen,
and here we were on Outdoor Channels, and the thing was blossoming, and it was going big time, and you talk to these humans from certain corporations, and they wouldn't know, and they were in the industry, and they didn't know who we were or never heard of Outdoor Channels, and it always bothered me to an extent. I don't know why, but it did.
But you've had some great sponsors.
And you know, and you're exactly right. But it is a struggle. I have people ask me all the time about getting in the business, and I've helped Hank Parker. Has done very well in this outdoor show business, and I helped Hank get started, and we shot his show for years and helped him in a lot of areas and still help him. And we work with Bill and Roland, and we're all friends, and we're not competitors in this business at all. And it's kind of like when we were fishing tournaments, we were competing against each other, but we're just trying to catch a good strike of fish. And if somebody beat us, and which most tournaments you don't win, you lose. You just get somewhere in the standings, and you're happy for your friends when they do good, and
exactly.
You know that they've caught more fish than you did. And so, this has always been a struggle. And we've got great sponsors. We've had great sponsors over the years. And we've got sponsors that's been there all 47 years, too, like Mercury Motors.
Yeah.
We've had Ranger Boats since the second year of our existence, you know. And we've been with the Bass Pro Shop and Tracker back since they started. You know, forever we run Ranger Boats on our fiberglass and Tracker Boats on our aluminum. And when they were two separate companies, and now, of course, both of them are owned by White River Marine, and Johnny Morris owns both. But we've been with Johnny since he started his business, you know. And so we've got companies that have been there forever, and we've had companies that have you know, we've got large sponsors also, like O'Reilly Auto Parts, and Shell Oil Company, which is a diesel oil, which we promote a lot for Shell. But it's still a struggle every single year. I mean, you know, when people think about, well, you've been doing fishing shows on television for 47 years, you know, they must be paying you millions of dollars to do that. They don't realize that we buy that television time. We're paying for it.
Yeah.
We're producing the show. We're buying the television equipment. We're paying all the expenses when we go on all these trips. And we're getting ready to go to San Andreas Island tomorrow. As a matter of fact, we got a 6 o'clock airplane in the morning out of Tulsa, going down to San Andreas Island to film film saltwater down there next week.
Cool.
And you know, we buy the airplane tickets, we pay for everything, and then we turn around and sell the advertising to the industry or to people outside the industry like Shell. And we've had great sponsors. We had Chevrolet for years. We got Ram Trucks now as a sponsor. But every year it's a struggle to sell enough. And it's real simple. We've got about $1 million in expenses. And if you don't sell $1 million worth, you're going to lose of advertising. You lose money. And if you sell more than that, you make money. But the amazing thing is after 47 years, and you definitely understand it better than anybody else, but it's still a struggle year after year.
Jimmy, we're out of radio time.
I've been doing radio for a long time. It's sort of the same thing.
Yeah. We're out of radio time. You're one of my favorite guests, Mark. It just glows when we have you on air here. So
like a day off.
It really is. You're just a wonderful human, and not enough good humans left in America, I don't feel. So you're one of the best.
I need to get you on here real quick before Christmas. We didn't get to talk about Lucky Strike. And, you know, for the fishermen that are in your lives, what great Christmas presents Lucky Strike tackle would be. So maybe if we get you on real quick before the holidays and you give some gift ideas from Lucky Strike or whatever, that'd be great.
You bet. You bet. You know, we have pretty much most of Lucky Strike clear through JimmyHouston.com. JimmyHouston.com is a good place to go and look in there and see what we've got while you're ordering those pecans. And I'm going to tell you, they will be, you will send me a note, and you've said it, Mark, the best pecan that you ever eat.
That's right. I guarantee it.
Thank you, Jimmy, for getting up and joining us here on air. We didn't get to talk about Joe Falco, Sportsman's Outfitter, Marine. We need to get him. He's a good human.
Yeah, if you've got a problem with your boat, that's a place to go.
Go to Sportsman's Outfitter, Marine. Thank you for joining us.
Jimmy, you are amazing. Thank you so much.
Y'all have a great weekend. It's
all right, buddy.
It's a pleasure to talk to y'all. Y'all are doing a great job up there. Keep at it.
Thank you, Jimmy.
Ladies
Happy holidays.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Bye-bye.
That wraps it up.
That's too fast.
Isn't that amazing? I just love Jimmy Houston. We got to go for this week. The next time we see you, I hope we see you in a great outdoors.
Have a great week. So long, everybody.